Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
I hope you already had your lunch today before listening to this episode, because some of the things we talk about might upset your stomach just a little bit. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist Trent Horn. And today we're talking about five food product ideas that were doomed to fail because they're just gross. Just a reminder, Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics, theology, how to defend the Catholic faith. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. So today we're going to talk about these five food products. Food is a pretty broad umbrella. This also includes alcoholic products. It also includes liquids, beverages, and in one case, medicine. But I'm going to put it under the umbrella of food products. So let's jump right in and talk about that then. And by the way, all of these were available on the market at some point, at least for a limited time. So you might remember some of them. I remember the first one, Easy Squirt Ketchup. So I remember this one. Now, first, the idea of just ketchup that's easier coming out of the bottle. Well, that seems like a great idea, right? Have you ever been to a diner and the only ketchup they have is the ketchup in a bottle? And so you twist off the top and you shake the bottle and nothing comes out. And you have to do a thing. Oh, you have to turn it at a 45 degree angle and lightly tap the base of the bottle like you're patting a baby's butt or something like that. I always try it and it never works. So I end up looking like some kind of caveman who is transported to modern times, sticking a knife into the bottle, trying to mine the ketchup out of it, looking like an overgrown child that doesn't know what he's doing. So you might think that I would want Easy Squirt Ketchup. Easy Squirt Ketchup was introduced by Heinz in the year 2000, but it wasn't just making it easier to come out of the bottle, because you already had squirt ketchup. They had to make it attractive to kids. And to make it appealing to kids, they made the ketchup different colors than red. So these included teal, green, and purple. They especially pushed the green to have a marketing tie-in with the movie Shrek.
Heinz Easy Squirt. It's fun for your food.
Watch this. Bug on a button.
Shrek, you eat some funny stuff.
It's just green.
The new limited edition Shrek Easy Squirt bottles in stores now.
And they also made a mystery ketchup that was multicolored. The product was discontinued in 2006, and the ketchup failed for numerous reasons, according to this article. The bottle design and color were made to attract children, but kids don't buy ketchup. Adults do. And here's the thing with ketchup. It's a shared product. So it's not like something that you buy just for kids. Like, let's say you buy a cereal like Cocoa Puffs or Count Chocula. As an adult, you don't have to eat that cereal. You can buy Raisin Bran for yourself, even though your kids always end up getting into the Raisin Bran and picking out the raisins. So you open the box and you pour it out and it's just bran. It's bran cereal. It's not the Raisin Bran. But you can get separate products just for the kids. But most people, when they buy ketchup, they just buy one thing, a ketchup. They don't buy a ketchup for kids and a ketchup for adults. Everybody just shares the ketchup. And adults don't want to use colored ketchup, because it's gross. It's weird to put green ketchup on your food. People get freaked out by that. And in fact, kids didn't even like the ketchup, because when you mix the ketchup together, it became a weird brown goo. And also changing the color of the ketchup changed its texture and its taste. And so people really didn't like that. And so Heinz Easy Squirt colored ketchup fell off the shelves. Number two, the Taco Bell seafood salad. Oh my goodness, the Taco Bell seafood salad. At the first, just right in there, when you think I'm going to go to Taco Bell, it's already a risky adventure, right? It's already, I'm hungry. I know this probably isn't a great idea, but I'm going to risk it. If just getting a beef taco is a risky thing at Taco Bell, like, oh, I don't know how my stomach's going to handle this. Imagine trying seafood. Seafood and Taco Bell don't mix. But of course, this was long before Rubio's, long before you had fast casual places that could do Baja-style cuisine. Taco Bell thinks, well, why not? We could get into this. I mean, McDonald's did the filet of fish. How could you mess this up? Well, there's a big difference, by the way, that at least with fish, especially like battered cod or the other fish that they use just for fish fillet patties, you know, you fillet it, you fry it, it feels like a patty. It's just that kind of fish is not as gross as shrimp. Shrimp is just gross. And what I can't believe is that in the store, they sell two kinds of shrimp. They have the regular shrimp, and they have the shrimp that still has like the poop inside of it that you have to get out. I forget what it's called, but I've seen it there that you have to actually de-poopify that shrimp. Somebody listening in the comments, write down there what I'm talking about. But I know it's real. I've seen it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why is this out there? Why is this there? So you have the Taco Bell seafood salad, and you had commercials promoting it, like this one.
Why order fish when it ends up looking like a burger?
Hey, Fred? Is this fish?
Introducing new seafood salad from Taco Bell. Fresh vegetables, tender bay shrimp, and a delicious blend of whitefish and snow crab. A refreshing change from anything on a bun.
Yeah, sorry, I am still not sold on the idea. By the way, a runner-up in bad fast food chain ideas, McSpaghetti. Spaghetti already is kind of like, okay, what kind of a meal is this really? It seems like the laziest of the pastas. It's not a wonderful rigatoni. It's not stuffed with cheese or anything like that. It seems like kind of a lazy pasta, I'm not going to lie to you, because we usually associate spaghetti with kids. Kids like twirling it with their fork. It keeps them occupied and entertained. I feel like spaghetti, for me, it's one of those foods that you eat so you have permission to eat other food. So like salad, I eat salad so I have permission to eat croutons. If I just ate a bowl of croutons, you would think I had, you know, some kind of a snacking disorder or something. You're not supposed to just eat a bowl of croutons. Well, I guess they have those mixed dried cracker snacks, little pretzels. You know what I'm talking about. So I guess those are kind of like just eating croutons. But spaghetti, you eat spaghetti so you can have the meatballs, those spicy meatballs. You eat spaghetti to have meatballs. You eat one food to get another. So I guess at McDonald's, they had for a while mixed spaghetti. And now it's available, I think, only in McDonald's in the Philippines, where they serve it with fried chicken. Going to McDonald's in other countries, by the way, is... It's a fun experience. When I was in Australia several years ago, there was a McDonald's across the street from my hotel. So I ate there often because the food was actually pretty good. Australian meat, though, is kind of weird. It does taste a little bit different than the meat that we have here in America, just the way the cattle's raised and how they process it. I wasn't as big of a fan. In Australia, everything they sell, there's like meat pies. And I just not a fan of the food. But the McDonald's was pretty decent for McDonald's food. But they did weird things, like they would have special halloumi cheese. So this thick, I think it's like a Greek kind of cheese you could have instead of just American, you could have halloumi cheese. So when you go around the world, you get all kinds of weird McDonald's stuff. And I guess in the Philippines, so I hear, you can still get McSpaghetti. All right, here's the next one. Bengay aspirin and Colgate beef lasagna. I'm putting these two together because what they have in common is that you have food, or at least something you put in your mouth, that's associated with medicine or hygiene that you don't really eat. And when it comes together, you get this kind of cognitive dissonance. So one would be Bengay aspirin. So Bengay, you think of Bengay. It's that cream you put on. It's pain relieving. It's a warming balm. It has a pretty strong smell to it. Bengay has a strong smell to it. So when Bengay came out with aspirin, thinking, oh, you know, well, we'll also get into other kinds of things that soothe and relieve pain. If Bengay is great on your muscle sores, something like that, well, why not Bengay aspirin? Well, turns out people don't want to take an aspirin that they think will taste like Bengay. And so the product quickly fell out of favor. Another related one is Colgate beef lasagna. So Colgate, what do you think of Colgate? You think of toothpaste, right? Well, why not a frozen beef lasagna made by Colgate? It's not super appetizing, right, to think of chomping into beef lasagna that I'm sure did not taste like toothpaste. But when you see the Colgate brand on it, you get a little bit repulsed, thinking, no. But now, there's a little bit of an urban legend, some debate surrounding this. There's a claim that Colgate beef lasagna never existed. The Colgate company claims they never made this product. Other people say, no, I did try Colgate beef lasagna. There's people who have claimed to have pictures of it, or to have had testimonial evidence of it. And they're saying Colgate is lying or covering it up because it was a horrible business idea. But did Colgate lasagna exist? We're not sure. But there seems to be good evidence that Colgate, back in the 1960s, did venture into frozen food. One article says a 1966 copy of Television Age magazine talks about George Henry Lesh from Colgate Palmolive. Saying they were looking at a line of dried chicken and crab meat entrees under a Colgate kitchen label. The American Institute of Food Distribution reported on Colgate's foray into crab meat and chicken entrees in 1966. So it might not have been beef lasagna, but when you go to the store, would you want to get frozen or dried chicken from Colgate, or Colgate crab meat. Who wouldn't want Colgate crab meat? Next, I hope they pair along with that. You have Colgate crab meat for dinner and then crab flavored toothpaste to brush your mouth out later. I told you that if you hadn't had lunch yet, this might gross you out a little bit. I gave fair warning at the beginning of the episode. All right, here's the next one. Bottled water for pets. So a few years ago, I think there's actually more than one person who tried this. They've tried to create bottled water with flavor for pets. So bottled water that tastes like dog food or cat food, or tastes like fish maybe for cats. Who wants to buy fishy water, right? According to this article, a man marketing a new line of bottled water for pets says he got the idea from his finicky dog. When it came to the tap, Jason, the dog, would not drink a drop. So Bill Fells, founder of Pet Refresh, Fells took Jason camping, and the pooch loves stream water. I took him to the vet figuring there was something wrong. The vet said he just doesn't like the taste and flavor of city water, which makes sense. In some places, the tap water is highly chlorinated, and you don't want to drink it. So what do you do if your dog doesn't like this gross, highly disgusting, chlorinated water comes out of your tap? Well, maybe you could get a water filter for your entire house, or buy a Brita pitcher filter so that everybody in the house can enjoy nice filtered water that tastes okay. But Bill Fells thought, no, maybe I should just make water that's only appetizing to cats and dogs. It says Fells started purifying mountain water for Jason and then his friend's dogs, and Pet Refresh was born. Beef and chicken flavors. Fells said the bottled water is just hitting stores. He's marketing for dogs, cats, birds, and rodents. So going through, though, however, the article says veterinarian Ann Brudvik said tap water is safe. She knows people often hate the taste. There are some pets that find it that way, too. On the other hand, if we're talking about dogs, they generally will eat or drink just about anything. And that's correct. And of course, this product failed because most people aren't going to buy beef or chicken flavored water. Just get water that everybody can enjoy. And here is the last one. Caffeinated alcohol. This is a gross idea. It's gross and it's also dangerous to think. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? Alcohol is a depressant. The point of alcohol is that it relaxes you. Like, you have a glass of wine at night, or you have a beer when you're watching the game, because it relaxes you. You kind of calm down a bit. That's the point of alcohol, is to relax. Caffeine is a stimulant. It's supposed to, you know, jack you up. It gets you really excited and motivated to do things. So it would seem to make sense that it's really dangerous to mix a stimulant and a depressant together. And yet there are brands like Four Loko, Juice, Sparks, and Tilt that were promoting caffeinated alcoholic drinks in the United States until, in November of 2010, the U.S. banned caffeinated alcoholic drinks. So here's a news story about that.
People don't realize what they're doing. You know, it just tastes like an energy drink.
Their potency and popularity among the college crowd has been known to send relatively novice drinkers to the emergency room.
So it's not unusual to see college students with alcohol levels double or perhaps even triple of what is legally drunk.
In 2007, Dr. Mary Claire O'Brien published the first research project to discover a link between caffeinated alcoholic beverages and injuries. She found those who mixed alcohol with caffeine were likely to drink more and more often.
According to this article, it says the beverages combine malt liquor and grain alcohol with caffeine and juice with alcohol concentrations up to 14%. Their consumption has been associated with increased risk of serious injury, drunk driving, sexual assault, and other behavior. Research has noted that the extreme levels of alcohol and caffeine in the large serving beverages creates a wide awake drunk that makes it impossible for people to comprehend how intoxicated they actually are, and allows them to consume far more alcohol than they otherwise would be able to without passing out from intoxication. So what's the lesson we learn here? Caffeinated alcohol is a bad thing because you could get so drunk and not realize you're drunk, you could end up making bad decisions, like eating a Colgate beef lasagna, a Taco Bell seafood salad covered in Easy Squirt ketchup, and washing it all down when you can no longer have alcohol because you'll die with beef and chicken flavored bottled water. Hey, that was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed today's Free For All Friday. Definitely support us at TrenthornPodcast.com if you want to help us to explain and defend the Catholic faith and have a little bit of fun on the weekends. Thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.